don't you?
No.
Well, you do remember, I'm sure, that these were cases that were emotionally
they were terrible. Many of them were very, very difficult. But I can't got to remember there was a flood of litigation in the juvenile court. Mm-hmm. We would have sometimes, I think sometimes we'd have a dozen cases a day. They might not be major cases bearing on placement, but one reason or another, we had kids in for, breaking a window or...
I think, Brad, you're saying, though, that you wrote this in the Supreme Court.
Yes, well, I was trying to... I thought by specifying these two cases that struck me as good examples of type of problem that you were encountering in this field, in that subject area.
Well, that would have been unusual for it to be in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's habeas corpus. There's another state involved in that sort of thing. I don't know what were habeas corpus petitions more entertained in those days. Well, that's neither here nor there, I guess. But there was some discussion and some rather pointed debate within the court and the opinions that were written about the habeas corpus approach.
The only approach that I could make to that would be to try to find a record of those trials.
Yeah.
And there might be, it's conceivable it may have been printed, and I suppose that there's even a likelihood that someplace in some dusty bin there's a record of it.
Yeah. What do you? Let's get on to the another area that was of keen interest to you in your period on the Supreme Court, and that was the evolving law of workmen's compensation.
Yeah.
Now you were credited, I think, at least by your colleague, latterly former Justice Souris, with being. And alongside of Talbot Smith and maybe Gene Black and Volcker and Kavanaugh, that you were a leading force in bringing the state of workmen's compensation law into a more compassionate mold or framework, as the word, I guess. Do you recall any of those cases in the... There were questions of stare decisis, do you recall? And here's the way we did it before. And some of the members of the court would say we're bound by precedent. You and some of the others would say, not so fast here. The conditions have changed. There are different ways to look at the construction of these words. Do you remember any of that stuff? Remember Shepherd versus Michigan National
Bank? Oh, yeah, Shepherd versus Michigan National Bank. That's a case that I do recall the title of.
Here was a case of a woman who was lifting heavy trays of in an office setting, tugged and tugged, one stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Weighed 25 pounds, and she injured her back.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, as I recall, there was new ground penetrated. It was decided that although she hadn't got hit by a falling object or had a leg amputated or anything, nevertheless, this was an injury within the concept of the workers' comp law, and she was entitled to.
I'm confident that I would have taken that position. I don't remember the case itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible that I would recall a lot about it if I got it and. Had a chance to review.
Well, this was at a time when there was discussion about, I mean, within the court, about whether there should be a test of a pre-existing injury. And there were the heart attack cases. Do you remember those where one of them was, I remember a logger had been chaining logs on his rig in the woods. Very heavy work.
Heavy work, yeah.